We are very privileged to have with us, and I'm only going to introduce the one of the triumvirate, and he'll introduce his colleagues. But we are very pleased to have with us a very old friend, one of us. He's been to many of these conventions, and he is now the director of the Department of Rehabilitation. And we're pleased to have Joe Xavier here today because it's a very important time in the field. We have a new federal law in place in the rehabilitation area that he's going to tell you about, and perhaps some of the challenges that that law may present with respect to services for our population. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to an outstanding leader in services for all persons with disabilities, and especially those with respect to blindness and visual impairment, the director of the Department of Rehabilitation, Joe Xavier.
Well, good afternoon. You know, I now know where Woodland Hills was. It's amazing when you come to Southern California, all these little towns and big towns that are so buried, you never know where they are until you actually have to go there. So greetings to all of you. We are very happy to be here today and have an opportunity to share with you information, as Jeff has shared, and answer any questions that you have. Let me start by bringing greetings to you from the rest of our executive team, because while the three of us are here working to share information with you today, the rest of the team is back in Sacramento making sure that the trains are running on time, on the right tracks, and doing what they're supposed to be doing, as Joni would routinely say. Let me acknowledge Jeff and CCB's leadership for the great work that you're doing each and every year advocating for individuals who are blind and visually impaired. And we have today Elena and Rosa here and the rest of our specialized services management team for the work that they do within the division to move our programs forward. And there's a number of DOR staff that are in attendance. I have not got a list of all of you, so consider yourselves acknowledged and thank you for the work you do. And then, of course, the partnership that we have to continue to move forward the programs and services for the blind and visually impaired, and more broadly to continue to advance the opportunities for all Californians with disabilities. One of the things that I'm routinely asked to do is to look for opportunities to engage the community, to build partnerships, and to expand the impact of what we do. And it's a task, it's a responsibility that does not fall just to me. It falls to every single one of us. So I encourage you, as you hear about the information we're sharing, to think about where that opportunity for partnerships to leverage impact lies. Rosa is here today, as well as Elena. And Rosa is here today in her first official capacity as the Assistant Deputy Director of Specialized Services. So I wanted to acknowledge that. And while I am very, very happy to have Rosa on the team, I am not any happier than Elena, who's pleased to have someone to help her carry the load. So, welcome. We are also commemorating White Cane Safety Day come the middle of October. And Blind Americans Equality Day is also recognized in October, as well as National Disability Employment Awareness Month, which is very important for all of us. So let me frame a little bit about the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, and then I'll turn it over to Elena and to Rosa for their expertise. One of the things that I want to be sure that I continue to share with you is that Congress's message could not be any more clear to the vocational rehabilitation programs across all states, all 80 programs. And it's simply that VR needs to change and become a relevant 21st century program. Our performance and our outcomes need to significantly improve. More individuals with disabilities need to go to work. We need to do a much better job at aligning the training and the skills that we're providing to individuals to go to work with the needs of businesses. And there's a major emphasis that has been placed on youth, as you'll hear later. But it's important we also recognize that the call by Congress to do more is not a reflection of the hard work that we have all been doing, because every single one of our staff, our partners, and our providers have been working very hard within the systems and the direction that they've been given. And so please know that this effort to change is not an indictment of the practices or the efforts of the past. It's also important to recognize that what vocational rehabilitation does has not changed and is not changing. We still meet a consumer where they are when they show up for services. We provide them the services and the programs that are necessary for them to achieve employment and independence and equality. And it's also important that we recognize that while this can bring a lot of challenges, as Jeff has alluded to, it also provides the opportunity for us to provide the direction and to lay the foundation for vocational rehabilitation for decades to come. The youngsters in the room will remember that the last opportunity of this magnitude was in the early 90s with the 92 amendments. Work groups have been established to implement the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Our communities and our advisory bodies have been routinely engaged. There are a number of you in the room that sit on the Blind Advisory Committee, and this has been a topic at virtually every meeting since its passage. We are beginning to roll out the initiatives, and we've had a number of public forum calls to inform you about that. Senate Bill 105 was largely established on the need for more individuals who are blind and visually impaired to go to work. And while that was not its sole focus, it is important to keep in mind that the annual reporting to the legislature focuses on competitive, integrated employment. 70% of our population continues to be unemployed. 20% of our population is participating in the workforce. Clearly, those are not numbers any one of us can be proud of. And when you couple that with Congress's ask of us to do more, to do something different, and to be more effective at it, it does have a certain amount of, well, pause is not the right word, but the need for us to really think about that this is the time to make some significant change. So we have goals within our department, as do any organization. Within Blind Field Services, it'll be no news to you to hear 800 placements, competitive placements annually at an average of $1,000 per week. We have talked about 20 at 20 by 20, which is 20,000 competitive placements annually for the department at an average of $20 an hour by the year 2020. Those two are very much aligned, very much in sync. And here's the good news. Within Blind Field Services, competitive placements are right at $20 an hour. So we know that it's possible, we know that it's achievable, and it's a goal for us to continue to press forward. A number of forums have been held to inform our community, all of you, about the WIOA in addition to what we will do today. And they are always designed to share and inform our community, to be informed by our community, and there are a number of other avenues that continue to be available for community input. There's our advisory body meetings, and I will continue to urge you to participate through the Blind Advisory Committee, through the State Rehabilitation Council, and other committees on informing our way forward, as well as visit our webpage for information that is posted there, because there's no way that in 30 minutes we're going to cover 500 pages of Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. And there's the email box that's on our webpage that provides the opportunity for you to submit additional thoughts and comments. So I'm going to stop here and introduce Elena Gomez, who is the deputy over the Specialized Services Division, to get into more details. So, Elena.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you all of you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. I just want to share that this is my fourth CCB convention, and it's And I'm lucky to celebrate my fifth year anniversary next year in attending the CCB convention. I must say it's truly a pleasure and an honor to be here to share with you some of the information regarding the Workforce and Innovation and Opportunity Act. And you'll hear it's being referred to WIOA or WIOA or WIOA. I say WIOA. Anyhow, this particular act was signed by President Obama on July 22nd, 2014, and the related proposed regulations were released earlier this year in April of 2015, and we expect the final regulations to be published sometime next year in the spring of 2016. So what WIOA does, it really emphasizes competitive integrated employment. And you're going to hear that term over and over again. And what does that really mean, competitive integrated employment? What it means is individuals with disabilities earning minimum wage or higher, and they're in a work setting where there's other individuals who are not disabled in the workplace. So that's what competitive integrated employment means in a nutshell. And WIOA also emphasizes job-driven training to ensure that job seekers with disabilities are able to succeed in the modern labor market. Now, WIOA comes with a lot of requirements, but no additional funding. So we're being asked to do more with our current resources. So, and it's going to kind of get a little technical, but I think it's important for all of you to kind of be aware of some of the key changes under WIOA so you're in a better position to inform and influence policy. So the first change I want to talk about is the Independent Living Services Program, which is related to the Independent Living Centers, and the federal oversight over the Independent Living Services Program is no longer with the Rehabilitation Services Administration. It's been transferred over to a new department that is called the Administration for Community Living, or ACL. And that's within the Federal Department of Human and Health and Human Services. Now, the other Independent Living Services program, which I think all of you are familiar with, is the Older Individuals Who Are Blind program. That program remains with the Rehabilitation Services Administration, or RSA, and the funding for that program thankfully remains unchanged. We always want to see more, but at least it hasn't been touched. Now, the second change that I want to discuss about, and it's a big one, and it's regarding services to youth. Every state VR agency, including the Department of Rehabilitation, must reserve at least 15%, and for the Department of Rehabilitation, that means $50 million in our VR grant must be dedicated to provide pre-employment transition services, or PETS, to students with disabilities who are currently in school and are ages 16 to 21. Again, that's $50 million that has to be spent annually. Now, PESS, what is that? It's a new category of services that we never had previously. It includes five types of services: job exploration counseling, work-based learning experiences, counseling related to post-secondary opportunities, workplace readiness training, and self-advocacy training. So because of this expectation, we expect that 33% of our overall caseload, will now need to be students with disabilities. Because we have to spend that 15% of our VR grant to provide PETS. If we don't spend that 15%, it goes back to the vets. It doesn't get redirected to services to adults. It goes back to the Fed. So it's very important that we use every penny that we get from RSA. So in the coming months and years, you're going to see Blind Field Services doing more and more outreach to students who are blind and visually impaired to apply and become DOR consumers. Also, as part of providing PETS services, DOR must attend individualized education program, IEP, meetings for students with disabilities when invited. So when we're invited to attend an IEP meeting, our counselors must go and participate. Each DOR office must work with local workforce development boards, one-stop centers, and employers to create work opportunities for students with disabilities. And each DOR office must work with schools in providing students with help as they transition out of high school. And really, this is a great opportunity to start transition services at an earlier age, because we've always talked about the fact that students with disabilities, especially those who are blind and visually impaired, need that earlier intervention to really get them on the road to employment, and to do it earlier rather than later. So that way, when they come to the Department of Rehabilitation and when they graduate from high school, they'll be that much better prepared for college, vocational training, or employment. So another change involves supported employment. And what supported employment is, it's integrated competitive employment. Like I said, you're going to be hearing that term over and over again. And that is support competitive integrated employment with support such as job coaching. Before WIOA, DOR was only allowed to provide supported employment services for up to 18 months, unless there was some exceptional circumstances. Now, under WIOA, we have the option to provide supported employment services for up to 24 months. And this really pertains to individuals who are blind and visually impaired, who are also consumers of the regional centers. The next change involves sub-minimum wage. And sub-minimum wage, what that means is the amount of money that an employee gets that is not equal to or higher than the minimum wage, meaning they're earning less than the minimum wage. And under WIOA, if somebody is under 24 or younger, they cannot be placed in a job that does not pay minimum wage until three things have occurred. Number one, they have to have demonstrated that they receive PES services that I just touched on earlier. They must have applied for DOR services, either be found not eligible, or if they were found eligible, they were not able to find a job with our services, you know, in a competitive integrated setting after a reasonable amount of time has passed by. And third, they must have received career counseling and understand and want to work an employer for less than minimum wage. So really, the whole idea here is to allow youth to be given the opportunity to pursue competitive integrated employment, give that a try, and not to start off in group-supported employment or day programs where it was felt that they spent too many years there before they were given the opportunity to pursue, you know, competitive integrated employment. Lastly, I just want to share that WIOA also requires DOR to work with the one-stop centers to leverage services support. So we're going to be working more closely with them to assure that services are provided to adults and youth with disabilities. And this means working with the employers that utilize the one-stop centers as a resource. So I'm going to stop here and have Rosa cover the last significant change under WIOA, which involves homemaker plans, and I think this is a subject that you all should be aware of. So, Rosa, I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can I be heard? Let's see. A little bit louder. Okay. How can we do this? All right. How's this? Better? Okay. Great. Well, I just want to say that I'm really honored to be here today, and I'm looking forward to getting to interact with all of you. So I'm going to be presenting today, as Elena mentioned, one of the last changes that pertains to WIOA no longer recognizing uncompensated outcomes, and this is pertaining to homemaker cases, and this is due to that homemaker cases no longer meet the definition of an employment outcome. So it is expected that when the regulations are published, that there will be a six-month period in which cases will need to be changed or they will need to be closed. And I'll talk more about the changes. But I first want to let everybody know that while the department supports competitive integrated employment, with this elimination of homemaker cases, the department is aware that this may lead to gaps in services to the blind community. So in response to these proposed regulations, In June, on June 5th, there was a letter that was submitted to the Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA, in which the department urged its federal partners to consider allocating funds for homemaker services through new or expanded grants so that these essential services will be continue to be provided. We know that in response to these changes that there were thousands of comments that were submitted across the country in response. However, we don't know what the impact of these responses will have. So in preparation of these expected changes, the department within Blindfield Services has established a homemaker work group to assist the field during this time of change. And I believe that there are actually some of the participants on this work group who are in attendance here today. So one of the things that we want to share what we did as a group is we provided some letters to the community as well as to the field. And what the letters state is that until the regulations are released, counselors will continue to provide services for homemakers, and the field will continue to open up cases where the employment outcome is homemaker. Although when the regulations are released, it is expected that, again, homemaker cases will have a 6-month period in which they need to either transition the case to a competitive outcome, an employment outcome, or they will need to close the case within that 6-month period. So if these final regulations do allow, if these regulations do not allow for homemaker plans moving forward, there are 4 key points to consider. So the first one is, again, that there will be a transition period, and this will be for 6 months in which the field will need to support the cases in either changing to a vocational outcome or close the case. We understand that this may pressure some of our service providers in needing to provide services within the 6-month time so that we can meet this regulation. And then secondly, when the regulations do come out, that there will only be cases opened up when there is an employment outcome as the goal. Thirdly, that services, again, as a reminder, services will continue. So we will be continuing to provide homemaker services or independent living skills or pre-vocational services, but for cases where, again, there is an employment outcome. And fourthly, that a consumer with a case that is closed unsuccessful will have to turn back in the equipment to the department. So the equipment that's been issued during the life of the case, if the case is not closed successfully, they will need to return the equipment, or they can pay fair market value and keep the equipment. So the question may be, why is this happening? What's going on? And as one of the things we're looking at is to share with you that currently within Blindfield Services, we have 65% of our cases in which the outcome is homemaker. And when we have a 70% unemployment rate within the blind community, we really need to be looking at what we are doing. We are being asked to do things differently. We're being asked to support the community. So this is an opportunity to relook at how we are doing things. It's also, and thinking about our SB 105, and I know that Joe Xavier mentioned this earlier, this bill, which advocated for the blind community to provide quality services to improve employment outcomes for the blind community. So this is in support of that as well. So again, homemaker cases are going away, but the services that are being provided to help support independent living skills will continue, and they will be provided because we do recognize that we need the service to help support individuals to reach an employment outcome. And I know that the big question is, so what's going to happen outside of VR services with Homemaker Services. And we have different programs. For example, the Older Individuals Who Are Blind program, OIB. This service is still available, although we do recognize that they do have limited resources. The Blind Field Services Homemaker Work Group is further developing a resource list so that referrals can be provided to individuals who do need independent living skills and who are also not interested in returning to work or going to work. We would also like to acknowledge that the independent living skills programs are interested in providing services and collaborating with the blind agencies to provide services to meet this need. We do recognize that that the blind community has some concerns. We would also like to remind that during this time where we have limited resources, it is really important that we are looking at what we can do together to develop partnerships. So we have also looked at other considerations, and in August 21st, we held a forum to get input from the community to discuss the potential use of one-time-only Social Security reimbursement funds that the department has available to address this gap in services for homemakers. We are also hoping that our federal partners will recognize the need for homemaker services to continue to improve, to provide, additional funding for the OIB program. So we do recognize that this is a big change. And in thinking about your theme for this conference, it's, where do I have it here? The challenge of change, finding solutions together. So, and thinking about that, you know, this is a time of change, and we want to recognize that and to work together. We've been collaborating with the field, with our community partners, and the consumers, and what we can all do together to help support, to take on the challenge of supporting the blind community to improve employment outcomes. And so with this, I'm going to turn it back over to Elena and Joe and see if they'd like to add some additional comments.
Okay, thank you, Rosa. Now, if we have time, you know, we would like to open it up for Q&A, but if we don't, I just wanted to let all of you know that Rosa, myself, and Joe are going to be here today or tomorrow for the convention, and we're available to hear your comments and answer any questions that you may have. So I would defer to Jeff or Gene to determine whether or not we have time for Q&A.
Yes, we do have some time for a few questions, and Ed will be coming around. We'll recognize the gentleman first and the lady second.
I appreciate being called a gentleman. First of all, this is Mitch Pomerantz, for those who don't know. I want to, first of all, acknowledge that the Department of Rehabilitation, I think, really, truly gets the crisis we're facing here. I was on a call a couple of days ago dealing with the transition away from homemaker services. And I think they really get it. I'm one of the two CCB representatives on the Blind Advisory Committee, the other one being Jeff, and we have at least one other CCB member who is on the BAC, Robert Wendt. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm scared. Rosa mentioned that two-thirds of the blind cases are non-competitive employment. I am scared for the thousands of blind and visually impaired persons who are either of an age where they can't go back to work, or employers won't hire you if you're over 50, usually, And I'm scared for the blind people who are in their 30s and 40s, who, through circumstances such as being single parents or having other disabilities, being caregivers for their parents, can't go back to work. When this transition program is over, ladies and gentlemen, they are going to be screwed. There is no polite way of putting it. And I'm saying it because I want everybody here to understand how serious this problem is. And there's only going to be so much that CCB can do, and only so much that the Department of Rehabilitation can do. And anyone here with bright ideas about how these folks can be served adequately once the Iowa regs come into play, I'm sure Jeff wants to know, I want to know, and I think Joe and Elena and Rosa need to know. But I just wanted to make that comment, these comments, because I think everybody needs to understand how absolutely serious this issue is. Thank you.
I don't think there
any
if you want to comment, go right ahead.
Well, I would just echo, and thank you, gentlemen, from Woodland Hills for your comment. Really, I mean, Mitch said it. We're looking for all of our best ideas. We're looking for all the ideas that nobody has thought of right now, and this is the time to be creative. I opened this up by saying how Congress is tasking all of us to think differently. And there's no time like the present to start that. So think about it. Let Jeff know. Let Mitch know. Let any one of us know. We are not so buried with good ideas that we can't take on a few more. Frankly, we could take on a lot more. So.
Well, that's good because my idea, and this is Christy Crespin, is related to vocational cases. And what I would like to talk about is readiness for employment and social skills. And a lot of times we are not appropriate for the workplace based on our social skills. And I know that nonverbal communication is 93% of what we do. And I've seen some really good people go down in a pile of dirt when they've tried to, they've actually commandeered a job like 15 years after they've started looking or later. And then they're on a long probation because it's a, quote, training program. And then they dump them because they had the supervisors from hell that did not cut them any slack. And they did not have the opportunity or ability to address social skills. So I would like to know, are you also looking at creativity in terms of hiring other kinds of people like social workers to the rehabilitation process? And how are we dealing with allowing our folks, whatever disability we are, to gain in social skills? Thank you.
So, Christy, I'm going to start this, and then Elena is going to pick up some pieces. So I heard three questions in your comments. One is, how are we addressing soft skills, social skills? Two, classifications that will help us build on that, and then I'll add a third one, which is the opportunity for people to go to work. And I'll start with the last piece first. We have a major project taking place amongst a lot of state partners, including the California Human Resources Agency, the State Personnel Board, and the Department of Rehabilitation, to increase the number of individuals with disabilities within the state's workforce. In fact, the governor just signed 644, and I can't remember if it's an AB or SB, but it has to do with a limited examination appointment process to get more individuals into state employment for their experience. And I'll leave the soft skills piece to Elena, but the other part that you talked about is other classifications. For those of you who haven't been tracking this very closely, over the last number of years, we've added three classifications to our workforce that I think help in along these lines. One is a service coordinator that frees up more of the counselor's time for the counseling aspects of their job. Two is an employment coordinator that spends a lot of time developing the business engagement as well as preparing some of the consumers for that employment opportunity. And then three is what we call a work incentives planner, which is addressing the transition from dependency on public benefits to employment and try to avoid the cliffs, the fears, and the problems that can come if that's not managed appropriately. So I'll leave it to Elena here to talk about some of the soft skills efforts.
I have to echo, you know, what you said about the importance of soft skills, because that's the number one thing that our employers and businesses are saying, that anybody who's coming into the workplace needs to have that soft skills. They may have a lot of them have technical skills, but not necessarily the soft skills to be a team player, to work in a team environment, and to, you know, communicate effectively with their supervisors, their peers, and their colleagues. So, within the Department of Rehabilitation, at the urging of our State Rehabilitation Council, we did develop a soft skills curriculum that is available for use by our community rehabilitation providers. Of course, they can amend that, because we know that for individuals who are blind and visually impaired, there's unique issues that have to be discussed, you know, that is not going to be seen by another population. You know, how do you disclose your disability? How do you talk about your disability in the workplace in a way that they focus on your talents and capability and skills and not of what, you know, you're not, you can't see? You know, that's irrelevant with technology, the sky's dilemma. And we also have an employment coordinator that Joe just mentioned within Blind Field Services. We have 9 of them. In addition to them engaging employers out of the community, they also work with the consumers one-on-one to teach them appropriate skills, you know, interview skills, but also what is a skills that they need in order to be effective in the workplace. And then thirdly, as I mentioned, you know, our providers have that as part of their service menu. But it is something that we continue to emphasize, because a lot of our consumers do have the technical skills. It's the soft skills that needs to be worked on. And as I mentioned, with early interventions for youth, that is something that we could look at, you know, self-advocacy, how to advocate appropriately for themselves early on, because those are the skills that they're going to need once they go into the workplace. And the earlier that we start, the more prepared they will be when they go into the workplace.
Thank you. No, I'm going to have to cut it off.
If I could just say, yes. And I know you're going to cut it off, but before you cut it off.
Joe has a very important message to deliver.
I just wanted to take a quick minute, and Mitch, I was going to ask if you're in the room, but since you identified yourself, I know you're here. That's not a problem. I just wanted to acknowledge, it would not be fair if I didn't acknowledge that the Dodgers won the division this year. And not only would it not be appropriate to not acknowledge that, it would also not be appropriate to remind Mitch that they've done so now 3 years in a row. And it's probably going to have the same outcome they did the other 2 years, but that's another story.
Okay.
Not a problem. Thank you, everyone. It's great to be here. As Elena said, we're around. Welcome the opportunity to always engage. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Let's hear it. Engage them all this weekend. Get to know Rosa. Give her a good CCB welcome, all of you. Yes, indeed. So